Hello and welcome to episode 3 with Living With Mental Health. It's John again. I've got another guest with me today. Sorry this didn't get put out on Friday, but I was having a lazy day and I just didn't really feel up to it. And then Saturday, it was just hectic and the time ran out of day to record it. So I'm doing it on Bank Holiday Monday. There will be another podcast out on Friday and hopefully the green screen I have behind me is working. We might have solved it by episode 3. And yes, last video I said I'd wanted it by 4. So hopefully I've got it sussed. I've buggered up my HD light ring. So that isn't working at the minute. So we'll sort that one out in another episode. Today I've got with me Ivan. He's from New Day Starts and he's involved with numerous different projects, and I'll let him explain that to with me. So Ivan, introduce yourself.
Thanks for having me on, John. I'm Ivan Humble. Where do I start? So I'm a support worker for Access Community Trust. Plus, I travel the country going into schools talking about extremism and radicalisation with me in your education. And I'm also a helper with Lift Life for Danny.
Nice one. So my first question to you is, and we were just having a laugh at this before we started recording, so I'm interested to see what your answer is going to be now. What does mental health or mental ill health mean to you?
So you got me again. So you asked me questions I'm not prepared for, Tom. No, I think it's just like one's physical psychology and well-being, do you know what I mean? But sadly, everybody suffers with one form or another in their life. And I guess things like this podcast, like this that you do, does kind of offer the listener maybe a tip now and then that could help them have an easier life.
I like that point because I don't want like the viewers would be nice having thousands and thousands of people watching. But if someone, that one person, can take something out of one of my blogs or podcasts I have with a guest on like yourself and come back and say that helped or just leave the comment or like, then that I think that's been a success. Hopefully someone can take something from that for you.
And to be fair, that's the best impact you can have. The only reason I mention that, John, is because recently I did a talk in Manchester. I think it was Manchester we were in, or was it?
Was it the London one you said about?
Yeah, sorry, it was Waltham Abbey, Essex. So we were there, we did our thing, me and Evan did our assembly, and one of the girls, people were upset at the end, and I thought it was something we said, do you know what I mean? So we went up and sort of, are you all right? But it was something I said about my story, about my argument I had with my daughter in the past. It resonated with her. And that's the sort of impact you don't see, that you don't realise that your story relates to somebody else.
Yeah,
so these podcasts are really impactful, just that you don't really realise how much.
Yeah, I don't, unless people tell me that's had an impact, whereas before we'd done these podcasts, they were just audio, I had a couple of friends message me and say some of the ones that I did had helped them and that had encouraged them to go out and do some more to get help and stuff like that. So like you just said about that girl getting help, saying that she can relate to your story. When I did my first talk in a school, and that was, I was thrown in at the deep end for that. And
sometimes the best way.
Yeah. At the end of the whole, the half of the morning at lunchtime, I had 4 people come back into the room and asked me some advice. Now, I wasn't prepared for that. I just thought they'd get on with their day because it was a school. But no, they were really clued on in the school. The kids were really clued on and I wasn't expecting that. And they were asking proper, not that I thought they'd ask silly questions or be silly about it because as we were talking about self-harm, but just the fact that they were asking, where can we go and get the help from? We know people that are struggling and we want to help them. And I was quite shocked that they were really that glued on and wanting to help.
Yeah, you find that the kids nowadays do seem to be more switched on and a bit more alert to a lot more issues. And they're
Definitely.
definitely keen to learn, I'll give them that.
Pardon me. Yeah, definitely. I was shocked, and then I've done some more schools, and you've been in a hell of a lot more schools than me, and talk about a stronger subject in some ways. But I saw a pattern emerging of who are the ones that needed help. And you must see that in your line of work. When you go to schools, you must be able to identify now which ones you think need the help or which ones are going down the wrong path. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think it's like, I'm trying to think of a word for it. It's like a sixth sense, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just, I don't know if it's because we've been through it ourselves, we can read people better, we can see the signs easier. I think that's a big part of it, that we've been through a journey and we understand our journey. So I think that's what makes that sixth sense strong enough.
That makes that actually what you've just said there makes a I can resonate to that, knowing that I've been through something and I can see someone else going through that issue. Yeah, that makes yeah that might I've never thought of it like that before. I've That's a good point.
And to a point, right, when you understand your journey and the thing you've been through, right, for me, like some of the films I watch now, I watch totally differently to how I would have done 10 years ago,
Yeah.
especially if it's terrorism or extremism related, because of the journey I've been through. You see a film differently now, so it's kind of really weird how your journey can affect you for moving on.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with that. I when it comes to films, if they're playing like mental health, a person's got bad mental health, I tend to look at that and look at are they actually playing it properly, or are they playing it up to the media's
Perception, yeah.
perception of mental health? Because the media have got a lot to answer for.
And that's for a lot of issues, not just mental health. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the same in my world as well. Do you know what I mean? So.
That's like when was I always bring it back to this in the last couple of talks I've done for access at the Heart and Mind project in Beccles Bungay in Halesworth was when was the last time you saw a positive quote in the newspaper about with someone that had schizophrenia?
Yep, you don't do it, Jerry.
You don't. Yes, everybody with mental health have bad days, but I'm sure, and this might be going out there probably a bit too much, but probably 100% certain that they have some good days as well.
It's not all doom and gloom.
No, and that's I don't know if that's true on your journey, but on my journey. That was at the start of my journey before I'd even realized that I wanted my recovery to happen overnight.
Yeah, don't we all?
Yeah, but that once I'd learned from recovery college about not knowing it would happen like that, my recovery become better. And I noticed there wasn't so much doom and gloom, but in your line of work,
It's all doom and gloom.
yeah.
But now I was just thinking what you said about schizophrenia. That's where my mental health journey started, remember?
Yeah.
Suspected schizophrenia. And back then in the day, do you know what I mean? Schizophrenia did have that bad stigma around it.
Yeah.
In all the films, you're the psycho, you're the nut, do you know what I mean? So it wasn't until like 2 years later that I got the proper diagnosis of a chemical imbalance in the left side of my brain, that I was able to move on and accept that. And then I was able to move on a bit better. But I will say that back then I spent like 14 weeks in Northgate. It was quite a
Yeah.
long spell. But that was one of the best experiences of my life, believe it or not. Because you're in there with people that you soon learn that your bad day isn't half as bad as somebody else's bad day. And the bonds I've formed with some of the people in that hospital for my time there, I'm still in contact with today.
Nice one.
It's kind of, it's a really strange bond you get in a place like that. But that bond does last, do you know what I mean? With the right people.
You talk about the word bond there. And in the armed forces, they call it, is it camaraderie?
Yeah.
If that's the right word.
Yeah, it is, because
I would say that would be the same for you in that situation.
Yeah, it was. It's the same what I see in the support work I do. When people come into our shelter accommodation, they find that bond with somebody who's on the same level as them, who understand what they're going through. So then people are really probably the most least judgmental people there are for them. Don't get me wrong, they're judgmental on other issues, but between that little group of people like that with the vulnerabilities and some of what they have, they stick together like a little group. Do you know what I mean? It comes together. Like, you wouldn't think that some of them would form friendships the way they do because of their various issues or their viewpoints, but it's quite amazing how you kind of stick to your own kind of bunch, if you know what I mean.
It's like they've formed their own community, and community is a big impact.
It's that sense of belonging that everybody looks for.
And just going back to when I lived out in the sticks near Beccles, 5 miles from Beccles and that, and the train station was 5 miles away at Brampton from where my bungalow was situated to where, I've just gone down in my chair, where I was situated from the train line and that. And because I don't drive, I started to isolate. I didn't feel belonging, that I belonged to the community. We didn't have, the nearest shop to us was about 2 miles down the road, and that was a farm shop. Now, they're expensive.
And they're able to take hours as well, at least.
Yeah. So we had to go over into Beccles or come into Lowestoft to do our shopping. And I shut myself down. And this is the one thing my psychiatrist did actually any good for me. I was written a letter to my housing association saying he needs to get back into Lowestoft. Because, as you know, I'm involved with all different people and groups. And once I got back into Lowestoft, my mental health went from down here, it started to rise again, and slowly I'm building it back up. I've been back in Lowestoft now for 2 years, but I feel a part of that community again. I've got a regular bus route. I've got a taxi I can rely on that's not going to cost a tenner to go 5 miles. So I can imagine for that group of people in your supported housing group, that even if it's just two or three of them in that little group, that for them, that must make them feel good.
Yeah, it does. It makes things easier for us as well, do you know what I mean, sometimes. But yeah, it's just another job I enjoy doing, because it's kind of like the work I do anyhow, safeguarding people, isn't it?
Do you know what I mean?
And I always have some of the mad conversations with the people I work with day to day, as I do in some of the other circles I work in, do you know what I mean? So yeah, it's been an eye-opener and a pleasure, really, to educate myself more on vulnerabilities, especially, I've lived in Lowestoft all my life, I know Lowestoft, do you know what I mean?
But yeah.
You don't really know Lowestoft until you know the real people.
Yeah.
And I think, I've always said in my other line of work that to combat extremism and that, you need a really strong community.
Yeah, definitely.
I think now, I'm doing what I've said, I'm doing it piece by piece, person by person. A long job, but it's where it starts and at grassroots, and
you have to have my still talking of that community. You did if I remember rightly, it was Rochdale. You did a 10-week program?
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I liked seeing online after the sessions what had gone on, and it wasn't just 10 straight same people, was it? It was. Although we're not all the same, we're all unique and individual.
Yeah, it was. What we did is we got a selection of Rochdale support, or people from Rochdale from different communities. So I think we had about 15 or 16 different nationalities, even intermixed marriages, and it was crazy. Do you know what I mean? But the best thing about that was we got to know about each other.
Yeah.
And of course, the best day was the food day when everybody. We set them a task of like doing a little video of cooking of their things. It was just a shame it wasn't in person, because some of that feed, delicious, mate. I tell you, but it works. You know what I mean? We just found our commonalities, and the people are still in touch, because we've got a little simple WhatsApp group as well still. They're still in touch. They're still communicating with each other. So
that's good. That shows that something like that has worked.
They're like 10 families who didn't know each other, and they're friends with each other, just because we did a little input with them and we had a laugh. Do you know what I mean? It's all about having a laugh as well.
Yeah, I really enjoyed reading the follow-up sessions after you'd done a session and that. And I just think of the impact that, how much more an impact that would have had if that was face-to-face.
It would have been awesome face-to-face, do you know what I mean?
Because yeah.
You do get quite good engagement when you're on Zoom or Teams or whatever, but you can't beat face-to-face engagement.
No.
The conversations are a lot more flowing, because it's been awkward online. Nobody wants to be that one who talks.
Yeah.
Because it kind of targets you, doesn't it, with a camera and that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the engagement was still pretty good, though, do you know what I mean? But
yeah,
face-to-face would have been awesome. We are in talks to do another one with them later on, so hopefully that'll be in face-to-face.
Well, hopefully, touch wood, I've touched my computer desk, that COVID is now buggering off and you can get to do the face-to-face.
Well, I think it is now, because the COVID centre is moving this week. So with that moving, I must tell you, things are getting better. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I've done a few face-to-faces recently, do you know what I mean? But in schools, but schools are always good, do you know what I mean? But even in schools, engagement's hard, because we kind of specialise in assemblies, so
yeah,
it's not like 20 people, it's like 400 or 500 sometimes, you know what I mean? So lucky our fans pretty energetic and enthusiastic, and same with him, man, they run around everywhere.
Yeah,
it's great, you know what I mean? We include everybody. It's just good to just be a part of something and going out. And for me this is before while COVID was here, I was working every day, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now I'm working away again sometimes. I get that me time that I always put off.
Yeah.
Because I'm travelling, then I get a hotel for the night. So it's good as face-to-face, because I'm forced to take me time again.
Yeah, definitely. I know where you're coming from that. I can't... This will bring me on to my next subject. Self-care is when it comes to taking some you time just to chill out and relax, recharge, ground yourself, is so important. I can't emphasize to the listeners how much important that is, be it 1 minute, be it 10 seconds or 20 minutes or an hour or a whole day. Just take some you time so you can relax and recharge yourself.
Yeah, to be fair, that's one thing I do struggle with. I'm good at giving the advice, but I'm not good at taking my own advice sometimes. But me time is something I struggle with, that because I know my passion for my job, my work I do, I just want to do more and more, do you know what I mean?
So yeah.
That's why I'm glad of this face-to-face stuff again, because, like I said, now I go to, say, Manchester, if I go by train, I can't do nothing but sit on the train.
Yeah.
I get to read a book, or I get to just chill out and relax. I don't usually get that when I'm not travelling, do you know what I mean? So
yeah, that's if our trains are running on time and not delayed.
And actually, that's probably the most stressful way to get anywhere now, isn't it? You know what I mean?
our train service is, not the best,
it's nearly as bad as our roads.
Yeah, and that's a whole other subject, that is.
Oh, really?
So we're going to talk a little bit about Live Loud for Danny now. And for everyone that has listened to episode 2 of podcast, I interviewed Sue last week, who runs Live Loud for Danny. I just wanted to pick up on this topic because Ivan helps run one of the support groups on a Thursday night drop-in for people. And I just want Ivan to say about how it used to be mainly women that attended, am I right, Ivan? And now it's men now that are attending?
Yeah, that was a crazy thing that I noticed over COVID, do you know what I mean? Before COVID, we had mainly women coming to the group. And has COVID progressed? The dynamics changed? I don't know why, really, but now we're out of COVID. Our group are mainly men, which is good. Do you know what I mean?
That is good, because there's a lot of stigma around men don't talk.
Yeah. But... and it just makes me wonder why the switch. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it because maybe the women had to stay at home more with the kids or whatever? I don't know. I just don't know why that dynamic switched. But it's something I've noticed the last couple of years. Do you know what I mean? That when you've been to the group yourself, John, you've seen it now. It's men. Do you know what I mean? It's good. Do you know what I mean? We've got the garden going up and going now with you and Malcolm doing that. Do you know what I mean? So it's just, yeah, it's just something I can't understand why we went from like a mainly female group with a few men to now mainly all men with hardly any women. Do you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know whether that's to do with COVID or...
That's really interesting. And
yeah, I just can't work out what it is, whether men felt more pressure. But I don't know, I don't want to sound sexist or nothing, do you know what I mean? But I just can't think of a reason why that dynamic changed so much.
Yeah. And if any of the listeners think they might know the answer for that, drop a comment on the YouTube channel down below. And Ivan will have the link for the YouTube so he can see his comments and I can tag him in it and whatever. But if you think you know why that group has changed so much for the split from being mainly female, just drop us a link. Just drop the comment in.
And that was just simply over the COVID period, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I've been to two of the sessions, and it was the first time there was, apart from the people that helped run the group, there was one female there, and it was all men. Now, I've been to other drop-ins that they do, like on a Monday and stuff, and it's a bit more mixed. More women,
yeah. More women, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a Thursday-like group, but... It's just bizarre how that one's changed. Yeah. But it's all good because we're still helping people, still supporting people.
Definitely.
And it's even better now we've got our own premises.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's more relaxed now because we haven't got to get the tables out ready. We haven't got, it's there set up. We've got the three or four different, you've got comfy corner with the cities, and you've got jigsaws, you've got book. There's so much more to do there, pool table. It's like a little youth club now for mental health, I think. I mean, it's just that little hideaway you can go for a couple of hours.
I'm sure some of the participants wouldn't mind be calling their youth years, Ivan.
I think Malcolm would love it, anyhow.
Right, Ivan, we're going to come to an end because I think my Zoom's going to cut out in a minute. For some reason, it shouldn't do, but it's telling me I need to upgrade. So,
no worries.
My last question for you is, what bit of advice would you give to someone that is struggling with their mental health or in your line of work? So you can give two bits of advice for someone that's struggling in your line of bit of work, or and then give some advice for someone that's struggling with their mental health.
It's really the same for both, mate. Reach out for help. That's the simplest thing they can do. And it's the simplest thing, but it's also the hardest thing they can do as well.
Yeah.
But it'll be the biggest thing that gives them an achievement at the end of it.
Yeah, definitely agree.
It's no good going into big complex suggestions and tips because people don't understand half of it. Just keep it simple. Reach out for help. We know it's hard and it's going to be scary, but it's not as scary as when you get to the other end of that.
No, I totally agree with you there. Totally agree with you with what you've just said there. Thank you for that, Ivan. Thank you for coming along today and doing this interview. It would have been longer if it wasn't for my Zoom being silly. So thank you, listeners, for listening. This will be up later today. Enjoy and have a good one. Thank you ever so much.